Okay, we're beginning here on Yud Aleph and Amud Aleph, 5 lines down in the wide lines with the word Gufa. The word Gufa already is controversial over here, as Rashi says. It's very interesting. Rashi says, Sha'alti et Mori. I asked my Rebbe, Mi Gufa de Mishnah de Maiti Agav Gerra Bishmaitin. Why is the Gemara here using the word Gufa when it brought down a Mishnah as a proof text in the previous Gemara? Gufa is utilized when the Gemara brings something in a conversation, and then it wants to go back after it's finished the discussion and investigate more deeply that issue. So it says Gufa. But it generally comes up when you have an Amora that made a statement, or we bring in a member of an Amora that was part of the previous discussion. And then we say Gufa and we investigate that more deeply. Rashi says, I checked with my Rebbe here because I don't understand. The Gemara here, Gufa, is about to bring back a Mishnah that it discussed. It quoted a Mishnah from Uksin, and now it wants to delve into that Mishnah more deeply. We don't find the word Gufa used in that context. So he says, is it proper that the Girsa here has the word Gufa in it? But his 3 Rebbeim, Rashi, here he doesn't identify which of them that he asked the question to. So, Mishayach, the Mitnei Gufa, Kiryasina, Mememrota Amoraim. Is it really relevant to say the word Gufa here, like you would normally say in amongst statements of the Amoraim? Vamarli Rabbi. Very interesting answer that his Rebbe gave him. Mishum Dahach Mishnah, Min Hatarot. This Mishnah is from Seder Tarot, and therefore, She'ein Mehem, Shum Gemara Ba'olam. They don't have any Gemara, not Bavli, not Yerushalmi, and therefore, V'lo Mifereshet, Kishar Mishnayot. And therefore, it's not explicated upon like other Mishnayot, whether it's in the Bavli or the Yerushalmi. L'fikach, Noega Shas Lomar, Gufa, Kedei Lefaresh. Therefore, the Shas uses the term Gufa here with regards to a Mishnah, even though it's a Mishnah which we don't find in other places, but because it's a Mishnah from Tarot, that's why it uses the word Gufa over here. It's very interesting. Rashi, about this word Gufa over here. So Gufa, now we're investigating that Mishnah from Uksin that we had mentioned before, which is, Ko Yadot Ochlim Shebisisan Begoren Tehorot. Any one of the Yadot Ochlim Shebisisan in the Goren are Tehorot. Yesterday we had the machloket about what the word Bisisan means. Rabbi Yossi Mitameh. And then Rabbi Yossi is Mitameh over here. My Bisisan. So here's this machloket that we discussed yesterday. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bisisan Mamash. That means that they literally crushed them. Either they stomped on them, they used a hammer or a mallet of some sort and smashed them, they softened them out so that they would fall away. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hetir Ogdan. All they did was simply release their binding. Bishlam Allah Rabbi Elazar Damar Bisasan Hetir Ogdan. That if you think Bisasan simply means to untie the bundles, undo the binding, Hainu Deme Tameh Rabbi Yossi. Then we have at least have some semblance of understanding about why Rabbi Yossi thinks they're still Tameh. You haven't done anything, you haven't done a significant enough act to say that these Yadot are no longer Yodot. So I understand why Rabbi Yossi might argue in this instance. Elo, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Mar Bisisan Mamash, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says the Bisisan here means that he stomped on them, he hammered them down. That's a pretty significant action indicating that you're not interested in the Yadot, in the stalks, any longer. So Amai Mitameh Rabbi Yossi. Now it becomes much harder to understand the position of Rabbi Yossi. Why is Rabbi Yossi Mitameh in this case? So the Gemara brings what we quoted before, which is Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Hoel viruyot lofchan be'atar. The reason is because you have the ability to flip them over then with the pitchfork. Tosafot over here quotes Rashi from other places, who sometimes says it's a shovel, but over here Rashi says it's a forka from fork, so it's a pitchfork, and Tosafot agrees, he thinks that's the better interpretation of atar here. And the pitchfork, because it has wide teeth to it, so you would need things that get caught in between the teeth to help you flip the kernels, the grains up, I mean the heads of the grains to be Zohar LeRuach and to do all sorts of things with them. If you just had the heads and not the stalks, it would be very hard to lift them up with the pitchfork. So that's assisting you with the pitchfork. So despite the fact that he's already indicated through a physical action that he's not interested in the adult, there's still reason to believe that he wants them there. And that's why Rabbi Yossi is Mitameh. This launches us into a gadato, which either it's Amar Rabbi Elazar, or here Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lama Nimshalat Tfilatan Shel Tzadikim Ke'atar. Why is it that the prayers of the Tzadikim are compared to an atar, to a pitchfork, which we have in Parshat Toldot? In the beginning of Parshat Toldot, it says, Vayatar Yitzchak Lanochach Ishto. So he uses the term atar. Lo Malacha, Ma Atar Zeh Mehapechet HaTvu'ah. Just like we say here, this pitchfork is used to flip over the Tvu'ah Begorin in the threshing floor. Mimakom lamakom, from place to place. Af tefilatan shel tzadikim. So too, the tefilot the tzadikim, apechat dato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mimidat achzariot, mimidat rachmanot. That That changes the Akash Baruch's midah from that of one of anger, distance, to one of mercy and acceptance. So the tefillot function in the same way that the pitchfork does, just like the pitchfork flips things over and moves them from place to place, so too the tefillot of the tzaddikim shift the view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or his relationship with us, because they're able to intercede on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. And that's what happens in Parshat Toldot. Obviously, they did not have any children, and the fact that they dive into Hashem, that's what changed the situation. All right, next Mishnah. Misachachim bin Nisarim, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use boards for schach. Rabbi Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir says you cannot use boards for schach. Natan alei neser shuruchav arba'at tfachim kshera. He puts on a board that is 4 tfachim wide, it's okay. Uvaj lo yishan tachtav. As long as you don't sleep under that board, everything's fine. So now we're going to have a machloket amoraim to understand what the issue is of the boards. Amarav. There's a machloket amoraim here now between Rav and Shmuel. Amarav. Machloket bin nisarim sheish behen arba'ah. That the board has to be a minimum of 4 tfachim wide to enter into this machloket. Machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether you're allowed to use a board as chach only becomes relevant once you hit 4 tefachim. Rabbi Meir, it like zerat tikra, for exactly the reason that you're saying, Fred, that Rabbi Meir says this starts to look like a roof, because people will use boards, planks that are that wide in order to roof their house. If you start doing this on your sukkah, it stops looking like schach and starts looking like you're putting a roof on the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, like zerat tikra, he says, we're not gozer mishum tikra. Here he's not putting any plaster on top of it. He's not putting them in a way that makes it a sealed roof. He's putting boards up there. That's fine. Aval minisarim she'en behen arba'ah. If it's less than 4 tefachim, divrei hakol kshera. According to Rav, less than 4 tefachim, everybody agrees, is no different than a piece of wood, a piece of bamboo. That's the shear where you cross over from being a piece of schach to a board is 4 tefachim. Shmo amar, b'she'en behen arba'ah machloket. When it's not 4 tefachim, there's a machloket. Ava yesh ben arba'ah, divrei hakol psula. You cross over 4 tefachim, everybody thinks it's problematic. So now, ein behen arba'ah, v'afilu pachot mishlosha. The way that Shmuel sets up the machloket, it makes it sound like when you're under 4 tefachim, there is this machloket. How far down? Was there no minimum size? That means even when you're using small things that Shmuel's going to say it's gzerat tikra, it doesn't make any sense. Ha kanim ba'almaninu. Those are just simply reeds. You can't say that there's a machloket there. So amar rav papa achi kamar. This is what he means. Yesh me'en arba'ah divrei hakol psula. 4 tefachim and up, everybody agrees is problematic according to Shmuel. Pachot mishlosha divrei hakol kshera. Less than 3 tefachim, everybody agrees is kshera. My time, konim ba'almaninu. At that point, they're simply reeds. They're simply pieces of wood that you can use for schach. Kibligay, according to Shmuel, where's the machloka between bishlosha ad arba'ah? From 3 to 4 tefachim. So once you've left the world of lavud, but before you've entered the world of 4 tefachim, that's where they argue. After 4 tefachim, everybody thinks it's problematic. Below 3, everybody thinks it's fine. So now, Mar Sabar came into late nehu shi'ur makom lo gazrinan. Since they don't have the shi'ur of a significant space, which is 4 tefachim, no gzeira. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Meir's position, Mar Sabar, came into nafkilu mitorat lavud. Since they left the world of lavud of 3 tefachim, gazrinan, because they're going to enter the world of 4, where it's certainly a surah. So once you hit 4, it's no good according to everyone, but that between 3 and 4 is the question about the gzeira. So the way we have it now, Rav suggests that below 4 tefachim, everybody thinks is good. Above 4 tefachim is the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, for Shmuel, the machloket is between 3 and 4 tefachim. Below 3 is okay. Above 4 is no good. Now, to Fred's question, what's going on in the Mishnah? It's none. Natan alei neser shuruchav arba'at tefachim kshera. If you put on a board that is 4 tefachim wide, it's fine. Ubuvaj lo yishan tachtav. As long as you don't sleep under it. Bishlom al de Shmuel. According to Shmuel, damar b'shein ben arba'a machloket. Ava yesh ben arba'a divrei hakol psula. So everybody agrees above 4 tefachim psula is problematic. Mishum achi lo yishan tachtav. That's why you can't sleep under it. You can't sleep under it because you got a piece of puzzle schach here that's 4 tefachim wide. And so that doesn't count. Now, it won't ruin your sukkah necessarily, because you can have up to 4 tefachim of pasul schach in the sukkah, and it doesn't ruin the sukkah. Or, if it's from the sidewall, you can have up to 4 amot of pasul schach. So in terms of ruining the sukkah, it may not ruin the sukkah. But as far as schach, it's completely pasul schach. Because it's significant. Because you already reached a point where it has chashivut bifnei atzmo, you can only be mevatel something if you have more kashu schach than pasul schach, when the items are not distinct or significant in themselves. But here, since they are significant in of themselves, the 4 tefachim, it's not going to be batel. But again, it's not going to ruin your sukkah. You can't sleep under it, but it won't ruin your sukkah. Elo the Rav. Now for Rav, this is much more difficult. Damar b'sheish ben arba'a machloket alvein b'hem arba'a divrei akol k'shera. Rabbi Yehuda, my lo yishan tachtav. Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can you not sleep under this board? So the Gemara says, misvara divrei akolhi. You thought that that last line in the Mishnah was according to everybody. Seifa atan the Rabbi Meir. The latter half of the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Meir. So you have Rabbi Yehuda's position, which is mesachachim b'nisarim. Rabbi Meir's position that's Oser, and then it explicates on Rabbi Meir's position and says, what does that mean? What's the implications of that? The implications of that, if you have a board that's 4 tefachim wide, you can't sleep under it because you have pasul schach. So that's how the Gemara explains. Say fa'at on the Rabbi Meir, that last line is only according to Rabbi Meir, not according to Divrei Hakol.
The sukkah is kshera.
Kshera is not the schach. It would say kasher if it was referring to the schach. The fact that the Mishnah says kshera means the sukkah remains kshera, but the schach is pasul. That's exactly the distinction that's being made in the Mishnah, is that you have a kosher sukkah but a pasul schach. Now, either again, if it's on near the wall, you can have up to da'at amot of this and still have a kosher sukkah. But when it's in the middle, up to 4 tefachim, a pasul schach is fine. And that's what he's saying. You have a sukkah kshera, but pasul schach. And that's exactly what's meant in that statement in the Mishnah. Okay, tashma. Shnei sadinim mitztarfim. 2 sheets are added together. Shnei nisarim ein mitztarfim. 2 boards do not get added together. Rabbi Meir Omer, ap nisarim kisadinim. The boards are no different than these sheets. That means that they get added together. Now, Bishlam ol Shmuel. According to Shmuel, it says, Damar she'in ba arba'a machloket. When it's less than 4 tefachim, that's where the machloket is. Aval yesh behen arba'a. Once you get 4, divrei hakol psula, mai mitztarfim. Then I understand why it says here that you can be mitztaref. That's mitztarfim li arba'a. We're talking about adding up to 4 tefachim. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when you hit 4 tefachim, you have a problem. So here we have a separate machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir with regards to whether, if you have 2 boards there, do we put them together and say they add up to the 4 tefachim, or do they not add up to the 4 tefachim? Well, the answer is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, less than 4 tefachim is kosher schach. If it's kosher schach, they're not going to add up to the 4 tefachim. But we would have a reason to think that they add up to the 4 tefachim, like by the sadinim. By the sheets, he agrees that they add up to the 4 tefachim, and it causes you a problem. On the other hand, for Rabbi Meir, who says that less than 4 tefachim is also problematic, those 2 boards that are less than 4 tefachim now will add up to get you over the 4 tefachim and cause you the problem.
We're not talking about
boards that are next to each other. If it's kosher schach, like Rabbi Yehuda says, then even 2 boards that are next to each other, you're not going to add them together to say that you have pasul schach, because each board by itself is kosher schach. You're not going to add them together. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says that each one is problematic by itself because of the gzeira. They accumulate to be the 4 tefachim, and they become problematic now that you have more than 4 tefachim of pasul schach. We'll see the possibility of other options. But right now, we're assuming that they're adjacent to each other. But according to Rav, that marbe yesh ben arba'a machloket, that even when you have 4 tefachim, it's a machloket, avalein ben arba'a divrei hakol k'shera. When it's less than 4 tefachim, everybody thinks they're k'shera, hey chidami. What's the case here? What's the case of putting things together and being mitzareif? If they have 4 tefachim, then why do you need to add them together? Either it is or isn't problematic. Rabbi Meir says it's problematic. Rabbi Yehuda says not. You don't need to add anything together. If they're less than 4 tefachim, why do you add them together? It's kosher schach according to everyone. If it's kosher schach according to everyone, then they have no bearing on the sukkah. So the olam de'itbu arba'a. No, these are boards that are 4 tefachim. Umay mitztarfim. Mitztarfim la arba'a amot min atzad. Talking about on the side of the wall where arba'a amot is the determining factor. Because you remember we had the concept of dofen akuma. Dofen akuma is allowed to go up to 4 amot. You can have this concept of dofen akuma up to a length of 4 amot into the sukkah. So therefore, if you have boards that are 4 tefachim, that's one thing. But if you have boards that are 4 amot and they expand to beyond the 4 amot, you can't say dofen akuma anymore. So the problem here is, if he puts up a bunch of 4 tefachim boards on the side, then each one of those boards, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is kasher. Since they're kasher, they're not going to add up to anything. You don't have to worry. They're kosher schach. According to Rabbi Meir, who says they're pasul schach, okay, pasul schach isn't the problem by the wall, as long as you don't have a series of these 4 tefachim boards that exceed the 4 amot. If you have a whole bunch of these boards that now exceed 4 amot, now you're up to a point where you can't say dofen akuma anymore. It succeeded dofen akuma. So why they're adding together here is because of this issue at the side of the sukkah. And that's how Rav's going to explain the machloket here about mitztarfim. Lishna achrina. Bishlamo l'Shmuel. Another way to have this is, according to Shmuel, d'amar rishayim b'en arba amachloket, abayesh b'en arba divri akol psula, my mitztarfim mitztarfim the arba amot, min atzad. So then we can explain this. What's the mitztarfim over here? That's min atzad. Elora, bishlamo l'Rabbi Meir, my mitztarfim mitztarfim the arba amot. For Rabbi Meir, I understand, because we're adding up to arba amot, min atzad. Rabbi Yehuda, d'amar, filu yesh b'en arba ak sheira. Even if they're four tzvachim wide, they're fine. My ain mitztarfim. Then why is there any tziruf here? Kanim ba'almanin, who you never reach a point where you're going to have non-kosher schach, and since you don't have non-kosher schach, how do you have every mitztarif for a Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the mitztarfim here at all? Why are we discussing mitztarfim? In mitztarif, mitztarfim, for Rabbi Yehuda, there is no concept called mitztarfim at all. So I can explain all of this in all the shitot, except for Rabbi Yehuda, I'll leave it to Rav, because why is he saying in the Braita, in mitztarfim? There's no concept of mitztarfim according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mar says, nah, that's not a problem. I did become a Rabbi Meir mitztarfim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ain't mitztarfim. You're right. Rabbi Yehuda is not saying ain't mitztarfim because there's any value in tziruf. He's just responding to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you are mitztarif. He just says, ain't mitztarfim. He's just the alternate position to Rabbi Meir. But that doesn't mean that he really thinks that there's even a chance to be mitztarif. But when it comes to sheets, sadinim, Rabbi Yehuda will agree. Rabbi Yehuda's position is all about boards, because boards are gedulei karka, that are detached, that are not mikabel tumah, they're good schach. A sheet is not good schach. So over there, we'll talk about mitztarif. By boards, there's no tziruf. Why does he say ein mitztarfim? That's just in contrast to Rabbi Meir. But that's not anything about his eager opinion that you can get to a point where it's mitztarif. So now we have Tanya Kavati de Rav and Tanya Kavati de Shmuel. A breita that supports Rav's understanding of our Mishnah and a breita that supports Shmuel's understanding of our Mishnah. Tanya Kavati de Rav, the breita that supports Rav's understanding of our Mishnah, sachab in nesarim shel erez, if he do schach with boards of cedar, she'ein behen arba, that don't have four tzvachim, divri akol k'shira. Yesh behen arba, if they have four tzvachim, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Exactly like what Rav says, that below four tzvachim everybody thinks is fine. Above four tzvachim is where you enter up. Four and above is where you enter into your machloket. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Masa b'sha'at ha'sakana. There was a case when times were dangerous. Times were dangerous in the Gemara means that they were gzeirot against mikayim the mitzvot. The Romans had imposed that the Jews may not keep the mitzvot. Shivyanu nisarim, shayu ben arba. That we brought boards that were four tzvachim wide. B'sichachnu agabi ha'mirpeset. And we, then we put them up on top of the mirpeset. So they didn't want the people to get wind of the fact that they're building a sukkah. So they bought boards that wouldn't be so suspicious as being schach, because they're boards. They think, they're building something. They put them up as a roof. And then they put them on the mirpeset. It looks like they put on a roof on the mirpeset. So everything looked fine, but they were really doing it, l'shem sukkah. So amrulo, misham raya. How can you bring a proof from that? Ain't shata sakana, raya. The question is, I don't know what Rabbi Yehuda was thinking when he brought the proof. He's bringing it from shat sakana. Shat sakana in general has different rules to it. Sometimes we do things that are not even accomplishing the mitzvah to keep the semblance of the mitzvah alive. Because if you do nothing, then sukkah goes. There's nothing left of sukkah. So we might make a pasul sukkah only just to keep the mitzvah of sukkah alive, so that when the shat sakana passes, people still have the mitzvah around. But obviously Rabbi Yehuda believes that shat sakana, we still have to do something that makes it a mitzvah. If you're just sitting under a roof, that's, whether it's a roof in your house or a roof outside, it makes no difference. You have to do something that is a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda obviously believes that even shat sakana, it has to be something that is kasher, even if it's kasher b'di'avad, it has to be kasher. Obviously, the response to him is that's not the case. Shat Sakana has its own rules, and we're not going to extrapolate from Shat Sakana to anywhere else. Tanya Kavate de Shmuel. Sachab in Esarim shel Eres, Sheish behen Arba. They put on them boards of cedar that have Arba Tfachim on them, Divri Akol Psula. Ein behen Arba, Rabbi Meir Posel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Less than four, Rabbi Meir says problematic. Rabbi Yehuda says fine. Moder Rabbi Meir, Shem Yesh behen ben Neser le Neser, Kamalo Neser, Sheminiach pesel benehem sheira, and it's fine. So this is the question that you've all been posing until now, which is, we have here Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir arguing in this breita that Shmuel brings. That breita says like Shmuel, which is above four tefachim, everybody says problematic. Below four tefachim is where they have their machloket, assuming it's above three tefachim. Then we have this statement of Modeh Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir agrees. Now, as Rashi points out, Tosfot seconds this is not just Rabbi Meir, it's Modeh Rabbi Yehuda as well. Because according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, above four tefachim, thinks it's a problem. So this isn't just a statement for Rabbi Meir, this is also a statement for Rabbi Yehuda. The reason that the Braita brings it as Rabbi Meir, as Rashi says, is because Rabbi Meir is the Machmir. So if Modeh Rabbi Meir, it's more significant that Rabbi Meir is agreeing to this position. But Rabbi Yehuda would equally have this same position and would have the same problem, because Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel and according to this Braita, thinks that four tefachim is problematic. So in this case, Shimyesh ben neser le neser. If he has between each board, kimlo neser. He has the amount of a neser, shemeniach pesel. Pesel means solet yekev, solet goren, which is kosher schach. So he laid out the boards that between each board he has kosher schach, then it's ksheira, then it's fine. So here we have that position that you're asking before. What happens if between the boards you end up with schach that is kosher? What does that mean? Well, the boards are pasul, but they may not ruin the sukkah. But now all of a sudden I have enough kosher schach in there that it's a minimum, let's call it a minimum of 50%. It's at least 50% here. So now I have a kosher sukkah. The Gemara later on will deal with this case and discuss what is the exact situation. Where the Gemara says Shmuel thinks that the sukkah is exactly 8 amot. Now a sukkah that's exactly 8 amot, we know each ama is 6 tfachim, which makes it 48 tfachim. And he says it's a case where you started from both sides, and you start putting in boards. You put in boards of 4 tfachim, then schach of 4 tfachim. Board of 4 tfachim, schach of 4 tfachim. So by doing that, what you have is, from each side, you end up having 24 tfachim going out. That's 3 sets of 8. So if you have 3 sets of 8, board, good schach, board, good schach, board, good schach, in the middle, you actually have meeting up 8 tfachim of good schach in the middle. So that 8 tfachim of good schach in the middle becomes your sukkah. Everything to the sides becomes dofen akuma, because the walls go up, and you have up to 4 amot that you can use dofen akuma. Since it's a sukkah that's exactly 8 amot, then you know you're below 4 amot, and everything until that third board is pasul, and then it becomes dofen akuma, and the center of 8 tfachim becomes kosher. Gemaras have other opinions in Rav. There's 2 opinions in Rav, whether 4 tfachim is pasul schach in the middle, or 4 amot is pasul in the middle. So then you can come up with other different scenarios about how to figure this case out. But at least for now, within the context of Shmuel, Shmuel's position has to be in this way, that it's exactly 4 amot, and then you have it that you have to start with a board, good schach, board, good schach, board, good schach, so that you meet in the middle with good schach, and you get a kosher sukkah of a minimum of 7 tfachim. You have 8 tfachim of good schach in the middle, so you end up with a kosher sukkah in that way through dofen akuma. So that's this case of Rabbi Meir.
You can only sit in the middle of that.
That's correct. You can only sit in the middle because the dofen akuma is a wall. It's not schach. And then we have here, Umode Rabbi Yehuda, Shimnatan ale neser shuachav arba tfachim ksheira, ve'ein ishenim tachtav, ve'yashen tachtav lo yetza yidei chovato. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you put a neser shu rachav arba tfachim, that is 4 tfachim wide, ksheira, it's okay. Ve'ein yishenim tachtav, but you can't sleep under it. Ve'yashen tachtav lo yetza yidei chovato. He doesn't yotzei. That's like our Mishnah, where Shmuel says that the statement in our Mishnah is the divrei hakol. Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees, once you cross over 4 tfachim, you have pasul schach. Again, if it's more than 4 tfachim, it's a problematic. When we're talking about 4 tfachim, a board that's 4 tfachim wide, then it's pasul schach. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's pasul schach, but it still doesn't ruin your sukkah. Because up to 4 tfachim of pasul schach, you're allowed to have in the middle of your sukkah. So as far as the sukkah is concerned, ksheira, the sukkah is fine. But that itself, that board itself is pasul schach. Since it's pasul schach, you can't sleep under it, because then you'll be underneath that piece that's significant, that's pasul schach. It's like being outside the sukkah under that board. But the whole sukkah as a whole will be fine. Now again, if it's less than 4 tfachim, then it's batel, the rest of the schach, and you can even sit or sleep under that piece of the board, because it's pasul schach, but it's batel for the remainder of the sukkah. So it's not a problem anymore. Now, if you think it's kosher schach, then clearly it's not a problem, which Rabbi Yehuda thinks. Alright, so now we move on to another interesting question, which is, itmar, hafchan al tzideim. What happens if you turn them on their edge? You turn them on their side. So now you have a board that is 4 tfachim wide. If you lay it along its width, it's problematic for schach, depending whom and which position, according to Rav, according to Shmuel. But what happens then if you take this 4 tfachim board, and instead of laying it on its width, you lay it on its depth? I call it a 2x4 tfachim. So you stand it up on the 2 tfachim side instead of putting it on the 4 tfachim side. So now, what's the din here? It's obvious what the two positions are going to be. Is the board inherently pasul, and therefore, no matter how you put it up, it's problematic? Or is the problem that it has to be used in the 4 tfachim way to look like a tikra? Otherwise, it doesn't look like a tikra. And those are the two positions that you have here. Itmar, chana sidiyem. Ravuna amar psula. Ravuna says it's problematic. It ruins the sukkah. Chista rabba baruna amare sheira. It's fine. Okay, so exactly along those lines. Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. Rav Nachman comes to visit Surah. All the gabe. Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Huna. Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Huna go to visit Rav Nachman and ask him their question. Amrei, hafchan al tzideim mahu. You turn on your side, what's the din by the boards? Amar lahu, he says back to them, psula. He says it's problematic. Nasu kishibudim shel matechet. Why? They're no different than stakes or rods, spits, rods of metal. Now rods of metal are problematic because they are mekabel tumah. Doesn't matter which way you turn the rod's always problematic because it's inherently non-kosher schach, pasul schach. If it's pasul schach, you can turn it any way you like, it doesn't matter. So it's clear what Rav Nachman's position is that it has to do with the chavetz. The chavetz here is pasul schach. You can turn it on its side, you still have pasul schach on its side. Just not laying down, you just have it on its side now. So I'm a little Rav Huna. So now Rav Huna says, didn't I tell you to paskin like me? I told you I had the right answer. So and they say, did you explain to us the logic behind your position that we didn't accept it? You gave us a psak. So we said, no, maybe not. If you explained to us your logic, maybe we would have accepted it. Rav Nachman explained to us why it is that way, because the chayfetz is problematic. Wait a minute, how can you say you didn't tell us the reason? You didn't ask me. You asked me what the psak is. I gave you the psak. And had you asked me the reason, I would have given you the reason as well. And then you would have known. But you should have listened to me, basically, Rav Huna says. Because look, when Rav Nachman shows up, he paskins like me. Lema misayile. Let's say that we have something that supports this position. Eina machzeket kedei rusho virubo vishulchano. If it doesn't hold his head, his robe, his body, and his shulchan, oshin nifritza bar pirza. Or there was a break, a breach in the wall of the sukkah, kedei shiz daker bagdi bebat rosh. It gives the ability of a kid to get into the sukkah, which means that it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, the wall. Or he puts on a board that is more than 4 tefachim wide. Even though it's only 3 tefachim into the sukkah, psula. Then it is pasul. Hey, chidami, what's this case? They're saying here you have a board that is 4 tefachim wide, and only 3 of those tefachim are inside of the sukkah, or schach for the sukkah. So how do you have a case like that? Lav kagon shavchanat zideim. Very simple. You have a 4 tefachim board that they turn on its side, and the depth of the board is only 3 tefachim. So I end up with 3 tefachim on a 4 tefachim wide board. So that would exactly prove their point, which is, like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, now we have a braita that's saying the same thing, which is, you have a board that's 4 tefachim wide, but you only use 3 tefachim. How do you use the 3 tefachim? You turn it on its side. And then you only use 3 tefachim. It's still problematic. And that's exactly what they're saying. It says, that they put it on the edge of the sukkah. The ayo talata the giv, that 3 of it went in, vapichad the bar, and 1 of it goes out. That's equivalent of schach that extends beyond the sukkah. And schach that extends beyond the sukkah has a din like sukkah. All right, there are a lot of things to discuss here. So let's start with way back. Let's understand this question of moving on its side. According to Shmuel, it's applicable both to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Because according to Shmuel, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir say that boards that are 4 tefachim wide are problematic. So now the question of flipping on its side is applicable to both of them. According to Rav, this question is only relevant to the position of Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, even 4 tefachim boards are fine. So flipping a board on its side, you don't need to flip the board on its side. You can keep it on 4 tefachim. It's kosher schach, according to Rav. So according to Rav, this question only arises according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that 4 tefachim is problematic. For him, this issue was raised. Tosfot points out because of that. That turns out, we know that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Alocha ke Rabbi Yehuda. So now, in according to this, that means that the Gemara now is continuing according to Rav and Rabbi Meir, or Shmuel and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. That makes it sound like the Gemara is favoring the position of Shmuel. Because this whole Machloket Amoraim is only relevant to Halacha according to Shmuel, not relevant to Halacha according to Rav. That's what it says, despite the fact that we normally say Rabu Shmuel, Halacha ke Rabbi Surim, which would mean that we pass him like Rav over here. Despite that fact, the Gemara seems to flow against that position. And since we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, and this Machloket Amoraim here, as to whether it's kosher or not when you flip it aside, can only be relevant according to Rabbi Yehuda in the position of Shmuel, that favors the position of Shmuel. He also says that the Gemara in other places quotes, has a memra, and then it brings a question from the Braitot. The only Braitot they quote over here is the Braitot that supports the position of Shmuel, not the Braitot that supports the position of Rav. So it makes it sound like the Gemara is favoring the position of Shmuel over and over again. Based on that, he says, Alocha is Kishmuel, even though normally we pass on like Rav B'Yisurei, over here the Alocha will be like Shmuel. That's the position of Tosafot over here. That's number one. Number two is, we have a question here with regards to a board that is 4 tefachim wide, and now the Braita says it's problematic if you use 3 tefachim of it. So in order to make it a proof to the position of Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, who say it's pasul, the Gemara says, you know what that means? It means they flipped it on its side and used it with 3 tefachim. The response is no, it doesn't have to be a proof, because maybe he used it at the edge of the sukkah. Rashi says, what does that mean you used it at the edge of the sukkah? Rashi says, the way they built their sukkah is 3 walls and the 4th side is open. Rashi is referring to the Gemara later on about pesel hayotzei min ha-sukkah. If you have a totally kosher sukkah, the walls end, but the schach keeps going beyond the walls, The schach is kasher and still part of your sukkah. You have a kosher sukkah even without walls. You can sin under that schach and you're in a kosher sukkah despite the fact there are no walls over there. Rashi says the case here is a case where we're talking about pesel yotzei min a sukkah on the open side of the sukkah. That's what Rashi says that we're speaking about here. And since the schach that goes beyond the sukkah is kasher, so too, if you have a board on that end, now you have a board that is 4 tefachim wide on the open end of the sukkah. I'll say, look, only 3 tefachim of that board are inside the walls of the sukkah. So I should only have a 3 tefachim board here, it should be fine. Mar says, no, because on that side, if you keep going, the sukkah keeps going, you're fine. Because it's considered one unit, that board still is 4 tefachim. And not a 3 tefachim board, despite the fact that one of those tefachim is beyond the walls. Because beyond the walls is still a sukkah, and therefore when you puzzle or good schach, it's going to go in both ways. It'll help you, but it also hurts you in this case. But what Rashi says here, and he says it's on the open wall. Because of what Fred said, if it's not on the open wall, then what would happen? Even if you have a 4 tefachim board on the other walls, it becomes a dofen akuma. So the fact that it's on the other walls, how could you say, even if it's 4 tefachim, forget about if it's 3 tefachim in there, even if it's a full 4 tefachim in there, it's not going to ruin the sukkah. It's simply a dofen akuma. If it's a dofen akuma, then what does it have to do with pesel yotzei min a sukkah? All these other reasons don't apply. And therefore Rashi says it only applies on that wall. It only applies to that open wall. The problem with Rashi. The problem with Rashi is, why does it make a difference? Why does this wreck your sukkah? You have now a sukkah with 3 walls, kosher schach until the 4th wall, and then across that 4th wall, you have a piece that now makes it puzzle over there. So don't sit over there. If you sit anywhere from that board and in, you have a kosher sukkah. So that's the problem in Rashi's pshat. Rashi gives you the pshat that makes the most sense with pesel yotzei min a sukkah, but by doing that, he runs you into a problem, which is, now they have a kosher sukkah without this. You don't need this board to make it a kosher sukkah. And therefore, it's problematic in that way in explaining the Gemara. Therefore, there are others who explain in Pshita Rashi. This many of the other Rishonim note, the Balamor notes it, that we're talking about a sukkah that is 9 by 9 tefachim or less. And therefore, if you end up with pasul schach over here, that pasul schach will now take the sukkah below the standard minimum for a sukkah, which is 7 by 7 tefachim. And that's why the sukkah is psula over here. Not because that schach pasul in general would ruin the whole sukkah, just happens to be in this case where we're talking about a small sukkah, it ruins it. But then if you say we're talking about a small sukkah over here, you run into a problem with Rashi, because Rashi says over here, the reason that he explained that the board was on the side that was open is because if you put it on the other ends, it'd be a dofen akuma. If you put it on any of the other 3 walls, it would function as a dofen akuma, and dofen akuma would make it kasher. But that wouldn't be true. If we're talking about a small sukkah that is 9 by 9 tefachim, then why would dofen akuma help you? Dofen akuma is not considered to be kosher schach. Dofen akuma is a continuation of the wall. And if you have 3 tefachim in there, again, you're back at square one, which is that the sukkah is actually psula, because you reduced it below the minimum of 7 by 7 tefachim. So therefore, if you explain Rashi that it's talking about a small sukkah, that solves your problem with regards to why the whole sukkah is psula now. But now it opens up the problem of why on the Rashi only explained it to be on the outer wall, the wall that's open, and not on the other 3 walls, because the other 3 walls, he says, is dofen akuma. Dofen akuma does not help you in this case, because dofen akuma lands you with the wall on there, not kosher schach. And now you're once again below the minimum of the 7 by 7 tefachim. So what many of the achronim answer is that the dofen akuma here is not functioning like dofen akuma in the regular sense. Dofen akuma tells me a principle that when the vertical wall hits the horizontal wall, it has an impact. That we see the wall cutting off the schach above it at that point. If you do that, then there's 1 tefach of the board on the outside, 3 tefachim of the board on the inside. Once you've done that, you no longer need dofen akuma. Because we're talking about 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim of a board is kosher schach. And therefore what Rashi is suggesting is that dofen akuma over here is generating a split in the board. And since you split the board, the 1 tefach on the outside is no longer relevant. The only thing that's relevant is the 3 tefachim on the inside. Those 3 tefachim are kosher schach. If they're kosher schach, now you have a kosher sukkah, and you don't have a problem, even in a small sukkah, because those 3 tefachim are kosher schach. Now obviously you can't be using dofen akuma, because dofen akuma would make it a part of the wall, and it would be pasul schach. But what he's saying is that the concept of dofen akuma leads you to a position where, when you have a vertical wall meeting the schach, that becomes the beginning of the section. And that makes it the beginning of whatever's on the inside, and whatever's on the outside becomes irrelevant. And so because of that, it's not literally dofen akuma, but the concept of dofen akuma leads us to a position where the 3 tefachim on the inside are kasherim, And the one tefach on the outside is pasul. And because of that, the sukkah would remain ksheira, according to Rashi, even though it's a small sukkah. And that's why Rashi has to explain that the case of this board is on that fourth side, the open side, where you don't have a dofen, where you don't have a vertical wall coming up. Since you don't have a vertical wall coming up, you don't have that split of the board, and now the board remains pasul schach. Well, pasul schach, that's entering into a sukkah that is of a minimum shiur, now you lost your minimum shiur of sukkah, and that's why the sukkah is psula over here. So that helps explain for us this position in Rashi for, number one, why he placed the schach pasul only on the side that is open, not on the sides that have walls. The sides on the walls basically cut the board in half. It's as if only three tefachim of the board exist, and becomes kosher schach. On the fourth side, where there is no wall, then you have the full four tefachim, and the full four tefachim are relevant because of this concept of Pesel Yotzei Min HaSukkah. Pesel Yotzei Min HaSukkah says that even things that extend beyond the walls of the sukkah are still considered part of the sukkah. If that's the case, all four tefachim are relevant now. While all four tefachim are relevant, now you have three tefachim into the sukkah that is pasul schach. You only have a sukkah that's 9x9, or 8x8, 7x7, you're now down below the minimum shi'ur of sukkah, and you have a sukkah psula. On the sides, we don't say that because the three tefachim are kosher schach on the sides, because the dofen, or the concept of dofen akuma, says that I split the board in half, and I say one tefach on the outside, three on the inside, and the three on the inside become kosher schach, and does not reduce it below the minimum shi'ur of sukkah. Okay, we'll stop over here.